I was trying to figure out who in the world he's talking about. Hallelujah. But I thought, yeah, that would take a pretty strong person. Who is he? Praise God. I appreciate that. You can be seated. God's good. Amen. I got a scripture. I told Pastor I found this morning. This is a scripture for our camp. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. Hallelujah. God's coming into our camp. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. I want to share a message with you this morning that really, you know, this is one of those things that you just happen to be here. Amen. How many of you love those kind of messages? You're here, and I'm going to talk to myself up here. If you want to listen in, you can. But I'm preaching to myself here. How many of you have ever needed help to make it over the hump? Praise God. How many of you could use a little help today to make it over the hump? Okay, we're in the right church then. Praise God. Why don't you turn real quick to Galatians chapter 5. I had several things going off in my spirit, but I really felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to share, and he probably knew it was what I needed to hear, too. So, praise God. You know, we went to Honduras, and I mean, we had a wild time, and it was good, and we led, you know, all those people to Jesus, and good things happened and everything. But how many of you know that a lot of times when you get back from something like that, you have to come back to the real world? Hello? I mean, you go out and you minister to people at the hospital or everything, and you come back home and something's wrong, you know, at the house or something's wrong with your car or whatever. I remember last week, John Betts, he went and he had a wonderful, wonderful time in Honduras with us, and he called me back and he says, well, you could start praying for me today if you want. And I said, well, how come? And he said, well, because I went to work and they said while I was at Honduras that they found somebody that can do the job better and that is trained and everything, so they told me I could come on home. And he said, that would have been fine, except on the way home, my car broke down, and I'm at a Texaco station right now. And I said, I know how you feel. How many of you know how he feels? And some of our kids are still, you know, trying to some of our kids are going to remember Honduras more than others, because they still have Honduras with them. Hallelujah. And they're trying to be healed even as we speak. Amen. And so, you know, things happen. And it seems like, man, when you're all fired up and everything and you've heard something from God and you go for it and you push and push and push and all of a sudden it's like, ugh. Hello? I remember one time Pastor asked me, we had a flagpole right outside this door here, a real, real tall one. And he said, you know, we bought this gold ball to go up on top of it. And guess whose job it was to shimmy up that little bitty pole? Amen? And so you know, he said, I want you to climb up top of that pole and put that gold ball on there. And I'm just like, praise God, you know. But I love that kind of stuff, really. You know, I love a challenge, and I love, you know, heights, and I like getting up. I like getting high, you know. And so I wanted to get up. You know, I was excited about it. It was a challenge, and I thought, I can do this. I can do this. And I was all pumped and excited and everything. Got that little ball and put it in there and got the wrench in my other pocket. You know, it was just going to go on up there And I climbed, and I was climbing, I was climbing, I was climbing. And, man, I was climbing. Amen? And those of you that know, the pole gets skinnier as you go up. And so it becomes harder and harder to hang on to that little skinny pole. Amen? And so I'm up there, and I got all the way to the top, and my face was looking at that gold ball. And all of a sudden, I got these muscle cramps, and I couldn't move. And I thought, and I prayed, God, I made it all the way here, and now I can't reach the wrench, and I can't reach the little gold ball. And I mean, there it was, right in front of my face, the top of the pole, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, move your hand. Come on, you can do it. And I'm trying, and with everything in me, I'm trying to reach down, and my arms, they're locked. And finally, I just relaxed. And I started sliding down the pole. And I slid all the way down till I got to that little hook. But anyway, And I got all the way down that pole, and it was like, God, I was so close. I was so close, and I could have done it, God. I could have made it. But once I got there, I couldn't move. How many of you can identify with that situation? I mean, you've gone, and you've gone, and you've gone, and you've gone, and you've done everything you can. And then it looks like you got what you're looking for, what God promised you, right in your sight. It's right in your vision. But the only problem is, now you're too weak to even touch it. You're too weak to enter into it. Well, get ready. There's good news coming. Amen. Amen. The good news to that was, is we took that flagpole down and put the ball on. But anyway. You know, it's like God says, you can do it however you want, but let me show you an easy way. Pull the pole up and just screw that baby on, put it back up. Praise God. Well, I didn't know it was going to be funny, but we needed to laugh. Amen. Galatians 5:22, your favorite scripture, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What is that? Long suffering. Now that's one that nobody wanted to hear about this morning. Amen. Every time I've ever heard anybody preach on that, they preach about the suffering part. But the other day, the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, Kevin, the other half of that word is long. Some things just take long. Some things just take long, y'all. I mean, you can cry, you can weep, you can fast, you can pray, you can do everything, but God's got a plan and God's got a way that he's working out things, and some things just take long. Amen. Look at your spouse and say, he's talking about you know. Some things, though, they do. They just take long, y'all. But I'm going to tell you what, God has an end. And we do come out on top, and you're going to win. What I want to title this is Making It Over the Hump. Making It Over the Hump. You're going to make it over the hump. I want to encourage you today, you are going to make it over the hump. Kevin, did you hear yourself? You're going to make it over the hump. Are you with me? You know, sometimes you look at other people and you see them in church and you think, oh, they don't have any problems. Yes, they have tremendous problems. It's just that they've learned how to put on a face to where you don't know they have problems. Amen? I read a statistic about a public school the other day, and it said that, you know, the conviction of drug-related and alcohol-related breaking the rules or whatever that's called, that it's down now, lower than it's ever been. And I know the school they're talking about, and I thought, that's a lie. You know, it's not lower, it's just that the kids have figured out how to not get caught. And I'm going to tell you something. You can think that people don't have problems, but that's not true. The thing is, they figured out how to not let you know they have a problem. But the bottom line is, we all need help to make it over the hump. We all, if we'll all be honest today, we'll all realize that we've got to make it over that hump. And sometimes you come back from Honduras, or you come back from something, or God does something real big in your life, and then it's like you got to, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty, and you got to go through a couple of things, and this, that, and the other. Well, don't worry about it. You're going to make it through those just like you made it through the ones before, and just like you made it through the ones before. And somebody told me this morning, they said, well, hadn't God always done this? And hadn't God always done this? And hadn't God always done this? And they said, when has God ever failed you? And I said, well, back in, I couldn't think of it. Hello? Why don't you turn to Judges chapter 20? I'm going to read a real exciting story here. Judges chapter 20. I'm telling you, you can make it over the hump. Amen. God knows what's going on in your life. And you say, I know, I just wish he'd do something about it. Galatians chapter 20, let's read verse number 18. What did I say? Judges, I meant Judges. Judges chapter 20, verse number 18. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God. Now listen to this. And they asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, I want you to notice that, God said. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning. Man, they done heard from God. And encamped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah, and the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? How many of you have ever gone up to the Lord? I mean, you ask of God, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to do this. And you go and do it, and wham! You get hit with everything. Hello? Somebody said one time to me, look up. I said, that's all I can do. I'm laying flat on my back. Amen? Are you with me? And sometimes that's the way you feel. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows what He's doing. Did you hear me? God knows what He's doing, y'all. And I'm going to tell you, some of you, I believe right now, I believe that we are bursting through the greatest things that we've ever come in with, that we've ever come to. We're bursting through right now. I mean, it's like we're ripping through the paper. You know that paper that the cheerleaders hold and the football team comes busting through? That's, we're coming through. But it's like the first piece of paper you came through, you know, it was made out of nylon or something. And you bounce back and you try again. But I'm telling you what, we're busting through. I'm not even going to say we're fixing to bust through. We're busting through. We've never had 145 teenagers on a Friday night at teens. Never. Amen? But I've never fought some battles that I'm fighting either. Hello? But I'm going to tell you what. Long-suffering is the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to make it through it. We're going to make it through. We're not going to stop. We're not going to be stopped either. Amen? We're going to make it through it. You're going to make it over that hump. And I'm going to tell you what, once we make it over and we see what God had in store, then we're going to go, oh, now I see why you wanted us to push through. Now you see why I wanted us to hang, why you wanted us to hang on. Are you with me? So here they are. They go up. They ask God, God, what do you want us to do? He says, oh, I want you to fight them. And they go and fight them. And they lose 22,000 men. It's like, God, don't you know what you're doing? And look in verse 22. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. Well, I want to hand it to them. That's pretty good. After losing 22,000 people, and they get up and they encourage themselves and they put themselves in array again, saying, okay, let's try again. How many of you have ever, you know, you stepped out and you tried to do something and it completely failed? Isn't it nice when you can get up and say, well, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Amen. I remember that first time we ever did a tent crusade in Alvin. Oh, man. For one thing, it poured down rain. For another thing, nobody showed up. That was two bad things for a tent crusade, when it pours and when nobody shows up. And so it was like, okay, let's try it again. And we tried it again, you know, and it rained again, and nobody showed up again. And now when people come to me, you want to do a tent crusade? I say, you've missed God. I already know it, you know, without even praying about it. But you know, one of these days, God might ask us to do it again, and we need to do it again. Well, what if it doesn't work again? Well, we'll do it again. The important thing is not, you know, whether this or this or this happens. The important thing is you obey God, because God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing, people. God knows what He's doing. We don't know what He's doing, but God knows what He's doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 22. And the people, the men, they encouraged themselves. And look at verse 23. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening. I want you to notice something. First, all they did is ask God. Now they're crying and asking. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, some of you've asked God for advice. Oh, Lord, by the way, what do you want me to do about this? And He tells you something and it don't work out. And then now you're going to Him and you're weeping and crying. Okay? And they asked the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, now notice the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. Okay, right now we've got a little bit of a problem, Lord. okay? I mean, we've got 22,000 yesterday when I was doing what you told me to do. Looks like I was a complete failure. Now, God, you're telling me, you know, to go up and do it again. I came, I cried, and I wept, and I did all these things. And, Lord, now, you know, the same thing, only this time there was a little victory. We only lost 18,000 people. Come on. You know, you get home and your house has got water pouring in it or something, and you say, well, you know, thank God that the car is okay. Amen. And then the next day it's, thank God we still have a dog. And then the next day it's like, you know, well, the dog was old anyway. Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. All he did was lay around the house. Hallelujah. But somehow you can rejoice through this long suffering. I believe it's in Colossians that it says that we go through this long suffering and everything. It says, with joyfulness. That's a pretty weak amen there. Hallelujah. Okay, with joyfulness. Amen. Well, how can I rejoice? Because you know God is working on your behalf. But it doesn't look like it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is working on your behalf. And I'm going to tell you something. When you've got God working on your team, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God's got a plan. Okay. So where were we? Okay, verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God. And now listen to what they're doing. They wept. They sat there before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. This thing's getting serious now. Are you with me? Sometimes, you know, we have a saying around here, the staff, you know, when we say, well, maybe we ought to pray about it. And Alvin always says, has it come to that? You know? Amen. I mean, has it come to that? Are we going to have to pray too? It's not a bad answer. Amen. But listen to it. They came up to the house of God. They wept. They sat before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. Now they've done this for 3 days now. For the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? Now, how many of you right about now, you're hoping God tells you, enough's enough? Amen. You can quit now. You know, I had the wrong plan for you. I meant that for somebody else. I got y'all mixed up. Y'all both had the same first name. Amen. And you're thinking, Lord, you know, please tell me to stop. But listen to what God says. And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. Now, I personally would have said, yeah, that's what you told me the last 2 days. 40,000 men ago. Amen. Come on, y'all. Isn't that true? God, you told me that last time, and now, you know, I mean, here I am, you know, I've lost all these people, I've lost this, I've lost that. How could it be that you want me to go through this again, and you want me to go do this? God, please, tell me no way. Tell me no way. Tell me to stop, God. And he says, yeah, I want you to go, I'm going to give it to you tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you something, people. When God gives you a promise, you can hang on to it. When God gives you a promise, you can hang on to it. I have a feeling a lot of times God gives us promises and we put the time limit on it. We put the time limit on it. Hello, we either do it too soon or we wait too long or we you know what I'm saying? I remember one time when the Lord spoke to me, you know, Actually, I think he did part of it. But anyway, when the Lord said, I want you to carry a cross, it was like, you know, it's like he had a comma there, but I thought it was a period. Kevin, I want you to carry the cross. So I go out and start doing it, you know, and there was a comma there, and I only want you to carry it in one city. Or I only want you to carry it for a short period of time, right? But I didn't pay attention to that comma. I just heard a little bit from God, took off running. Come on. And we hear something from God and he says, I want you to go do this. And we, yes, Lord. And we're running off, running. We're in our own strength trying to do it, trying to do it, trying to do it. And we come back all whipped and beat. And he says, next week. We need all of the counsel of God. We need all of the instruction of God. We need all of the wisdom of God. Amen. And so here, you know, they say, you know, look, Lord, what do you want us to do? And he says, I want you to go up again. I will deliver them into thine hand. In verse 29, and Israel set lyres or lyres in wait round about Gibeah, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as the other times. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city, and they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goes up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah. And it goes on to say, down in verse 35, and the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel. And the Lord smote Benjamin. And the Lord smote Benjamin. I tell you, folks, I believe with all my heart, there's a time coming where the Lord is going to do it. I believe there's a time right here in our midst where if we'll hang on and if we'll make it over the hump, whether it's you in your situation or you in a group situation with a bunch of other people or whatever, if you hang in there and you keep on going, and if God even tells you to go up against it again, and you go up against it again and fall back, and then you go up against it again, and then you go up against it again, and then you go up against it again, you need to keep in there and hang in there, because I'm going to tell you what, the Lord is fixing to do something in your life. The Lord is fixing to do something in your life. Amen. But you got to hang in there. You got to at least be in the battle. Amen. I'm so excited about what God's doing in our youth group, but what we're really excited about, we're excited about what God's doing in Alvin High School. And there's several people here I know that they're, you know, on the staff and faculty at Alvin High School, and a bunch of kids that go to Alvin High School, but we're starting a Bible club there, and we're calling it Power Pack. And the word Power Pack means a unit that is used to convert energy from one power to another. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Last year, you know, I told somebody, I said, you know, we want to do something in Alvin High School. We want to do something. And so we started praying. And I didn't have an idea. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. Still didn't have an idea. And people even asked me, what are you going to do? Are you going to do something or not? You know? And it's like you pray and pray and pray and pray, but you didn't hear all the counsel of God. Are you with me? And then all of a sudden this year, God gave us an idea. And so we're going for it. And I believe it's going to produce and it's going to be fruitful. But I'm going to tell you what, if we hit a wall, you know what we're going to do? We're going to back up and do another avenue. And if we hit another wall, we're going to back up and do another avenue. If we hit another one, we're going to back up and do another avenue. But y'all, we got to keep on going. Are you with me? How come? Because there's people at Alvin High School that need to be reached for Jesus. Hello? I'm going to tell you what, the need on the other side of the door is greater than the problem that's happening on your side. Jesus was moved with compassion. I was reading this morning, he had compassion on the lost, he had compassion on the leper, he had compassion on the blind, he had compassion on parents, he had compassion, there's all these different times where he had compassion on people. We need to hang on to that. I'll tell you what, compassion will allow you to go through some long suffering. Amen? But we got to have that compassion, y'all, and we got to stick in there and hang in there. You say, but it's so rough, and I'm going through all this. I know it's rough, but we're all going to hang in there. And I tell you what, if we'll hang together, and if we'll keep on doing it together, God is going to have a breakthrough so big for you that once it happens, you're going to say, now I see why I went through all that stuff. I went to Needleland and started that church. I was a senior pastor of a big church. Not. But anyway, I was a senior pastor of a church. You know, and I mean, it was big. I'd walk into the bank and they'd say, hello, Reverend Kinchin. And I'd go into the grocery store, I mean, the little drugstore on the corner, and, oh, well, Pastor Kevin, you know, you're here. We know how you like your breakfast. You want the usual? Well, that makes you feel real special, right? You know? Well, then shortly after that, you know, God kind of relieved me of those duties of being senior pastor. And then I had my own evangelistic association, me and Brother Osborne. Hallelujah. And we ministered once together, so praise God. It was a short-lived evangelistic association. Amen. But, you know, I had my own P.O. box and everything and got one or two letters. It was just wonderful, you know? And so we did that for a while, and that was good. Then I came back here to Alvin, you know, and I told Pastor about my evangelistic association, you know, and how good we were doing and this, that, and the other. And so he looked at me one day, and he said, "You need to go get a job. You know why?" And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Because your kids are going to grow up thinking God's poor." Hello? So I went. Many of you know the story. I became a deer slayer at a meat market. You know, now I'm going to tell you something. That's rough for someone who was a senior pastor and who was preaching beside T.L. Osborne. Hello? And now they're standing in a dumpster full of deer guts. Skinning deer. Amen. And I'll never forget the day when I looked up at the sky and hollered, "Don't you know I'm an evangelist?" As if he doesn't know, he's the one that called me. Come on. So then, you know, Pastor, you know, after a while he put me on staff here and I started doing some evangelism and everything. All right, this is it. Praise God. And then he came to me one day and wanted me to do something else here. You know, praise God. Well, this is it, you know. And then, you know, one thing after another. So I've done all these things. And then one night God gives me a dream. And in the dream on a Sunday night, Pastor John is moving out of his house and I'm moving in the dream. And I woke up and I told Marge, I said, "Man, I had the weirdest dream last night. I had a dream that John was moving out and we was moving in." She said, "Wasn't that weird? I had the same dream." So then the next morning, you know, Pastor Gilligan comes up and he says to Pastor, "You know, I've got something else opened up, you know, and I'm going to be leaving." And Pastor turned to me and said, "I want you to take over the youth." Now, I want you to hear this. About 4 or 5 weeks before that, Pastor had prophesied to me right up here and he said, "You're fixing to hit your freeway." See, some of you have been riding on the feeder for a long time. Hello. I'll never forget. One time, me and Marge was on our way to Dallas, and we was driving all the way up Interstate 45, and we was almost to Dallas, and she goes, "I never seen anything like that in my life." And I said, "What?" She said, "That frontage road is the longest road in the world." She said, that frontage road has been going all the way from Houston to Dallas. It'll sink in a minute. Frontage road, you know, that's the feeder. Frontage road. She thought it was the name of a street. Frontage road. Okay. I remember one other time when I missed God is when I told that. But anyway. Pastor said, "You're fixing to hit your freeway." Now, I've told you all that to tell you this. I look back now, and man, when I started doing youth, this is what, you know, I was born for. I believe that with all my heart. I've never been happier in my life doing youth. But what I'm saying is, now I see why God had to do all that other stuff. I couldn't see it back then. I remember crying all night long. I remember one time at our church in Nederland, me and Marge, we took the baby bed, all our kids and everything, we put the bank books up there on the pulpit. We said, "God, you got to do something or we're all going to die." And we spent the night in the church praying over the bank books, you know. And I remember devastating times. That time when I walked into Pastor's house, you know, I drove straight from a service and even to his house, knocked on the front door, Pastor Judy opens the door, I walk straight back to where he's at, and I plop down, and I start bawling, and he starts rolling laughing. And you know what he said? He said, "Kevin, if I could get you drunk and that would solve it, I'd go get you drunk. If I could read you a scripture," and maybe I shouldn't have told that, but anyway. That's not what he was going to do. It was just an expression. Probably called to do youth somewhere else now. And he said, "If I could read you a scripture and that would solve all your problems, I'd do that." He says, "But it's not going to work." He said, "So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just walk through it with you." Amen. And that's all I needed, y'all. And that's all you need right now. We need to band together and walk through this thing. Walk through this thing. But I had some devastating times. But now, when I became youth pastor, you know what Lord spoke to me? He said, "Kevin, I know how you are. And I know that you have a tendency to take a hold of what's exciting and adventurous, and you take that and you make that something that you're supposed to do, and you go off and do it. And he said, if I would have made you a youth pastor first, you would have always been waiting. Well, one of these days I'll be a senior pastor. One of these days I'll work at Living Stones. One of these days I'll do this. One of these days I'll have my own evangelistic association. He said, I had to get you to do all those things first so we'd get them out of the way. Now that you've done all that, you don't have a desire for that. Now you can concentrate on youth ministry. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That took almost 7 years. That took almost 7 years. Some things just take long. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, when I got kicked into youth, it was like, yes, it was worth every wait. It was worth every minute. It was worth every tear. It's worth everything. I'm telling you, you may be going through some stuff right now, but the end result, the answer that God has for you is so wonderful and beautiful, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. You can't give up. Did you hear me? Turn to one more scripture, John chapter 6. I wrote here a very famous quote that I'm sure none of you have ever heard before. It's very spiritual. Comes out of the movie Old Yeller. And in Old Yeller, they said, don't spend the good part of life fretting over the bad. Hello? Y'all, we can't spend the good part of life fretting over the bad. God's got plenty of good for us. God's got plenty of good for us. Amen? Now, in John chapter 6, you got to see this. This is a personal revelation that I got straight from my wife last night. After these things, verse 1, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I'd never seen that before. Jesus asked Philip, hey Philip, have we got enough bread? Have we got enough food to feed all these people? How are we going to feed all these people? And then it's like Jesus said, I really know the answer. I just want to see if he does. Hello? Jesus knew what he was going to do, people. That didn't surprise him. That wasn't some big revelation from God that, oh, wow, I can pray over the bread and bless it. He knew what he was going to do. And I want to tell you something right now. Jesus knows what he is going to do in your life. He knows what your answer is right now. He knows what it is. What he wants to know is, do you know that he knows that he has your answer? Amen. Margie and I are working through something right now. There's a situation that we're, you know, we need God to move in. And we're working through something. And it's like, you know, she said last night, she said, Kevin, God knows our need. And God knows the answer. And he's already got it planned out. What he wants to do is he wants to see if we know that he has our answer. If we know that he's going to pull us through. Hello? And man, when Philip said, well, Lord, this is all we got. He said, that's okay. I already know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to use that to do it with. And when you tell the Lord, Lord, this is all I got left. This is all I can do. You know, we done lost 22,000, then we lost 18,000 and everything. God, this is all I got left. What do you want me to do? And God says, I got a plan. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you the land. Are you with me? And folks, you got to hang on, and you got to hang in there. I read in Ephesians 6 where it says, you know, when you've done all you can, stand. And then stand therefore. Just stand. You know, just hang on to that flagpole. Even when it looks like, you know, when I was going, I'll never forget, when I was going down that flagpole, it was like looking at it going, I was so close, I almost could have made it, but I couldn't reach the wrench. And, you know, and it's like you're getting further and further and further away from your dream now. And it looks like it's all the way over. Hello? And it looks like it's all the way over, all the way over, all the way over. And then you're down on the ground. It's like, now it'll never happen. And all of a sudden, one idea from God. One revelation. Kevin, lay the flagpole down. Amen. I'm telling you, God's going to give you one little thing that is just going to turn it all around. It's going to turn around. But you got to keep hanging on. Even when it looks like you're sliding down and going backwards, you got to keep hanging on. You got to keep hanging on. Amen. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You got to look unto Him. Because if you look unto yourself, you're not going to make it. If you keep looking unto yourself, the author and finisher of your faith, you'll never make it. But you got to look unto Jesus. I'll never forget this story I heard, and I'll close with this. There was this little kid, or actually it was a guy, and he was telling a story about when he was a kid. And he said for the longest time he thought his name was Get Wood, because that's all anybody ever said to him is Get Wood. And so he'd go out and get this wood, you know. And he was in the back of a truck one time, a pickup truck, getting wood, a little bitty old kid. And I'm sorry. He saw this happening to this little kid, okay? And so he's thinking about this and everything, and he sees this little kid in the back of a truck, and he's unloading the truck or whatever. And the kid, you know, about maybe 3 or 4 years old, and he starts, you know, backing himself off the tailgate, you know, so they can get back down on the ground. And he gets to the point where, you know, you can't slide over anymore, but your feet still hadn't touched the ground. How many of you know that feeling? It's where, like, okay, you know, something's got to happen here, because if I release anymore, I'm going all the way, and who knows how far it is, but, you know, and I'm in a predicament here. And he said he was kind of standing off, and he just watched this little boy, little three-year-old kid. And the kid is sitting there, you know, in this position. He's hanging off the tailgate, and he's dangling his feet, and he's, you know, doing like this, and can't find anything. And all of a sudden, he said the little kid just stopped dangling his feet, and he looked up a little bit, and he said, "Somebody help the boy." Somebody help the boy. Amen. And there's those of you in here this morning, that's what you're saying. I remember one of my greatest prayers is, "God, your servant's in trouble." But I just believe God takes care of His servants. Sometimes the only prayer you can get out is, "God, please have somebody pray for us. God, please lay me on somebody's heart so they'll begin to pray for me." Amen. How many of you know that one? How many of you know He's always answered it? Amen. Somebody comes up to you the next week, "Hey, God laid you on my heart." And I'm going to tell you something, people. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. But you got to hang in there. And you know, you're only about this far away from the ground. Somebody told me one time, "Hang on to the hip pockets of God." No, thank you, because then I'll accidentally let go. I'd rather jump up in His arms, let Him hold me. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there's a lot of exciting things going on. But with that, there comes all kinds of principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places that tries to stop you. And all kind of other things that try to get you. And it's amazing how they can all crop up at once. Hello? You know, and you got all these things going on, but I'm going to tell you something. Long suffering. You're going to make it through these just like it made it through the others. And when you hit your freeway, it's going to be more than wonderful. Amen. And I believe by the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you're about to hit your freeway. The greatest feeling since my salvation experience, I believe, was when I hit my freeway with the youth. It just felt like, like a well-tailored suit. That's where I belong. It's where I fit. And you're fixing to hit your freeway. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's bow our heads. Now, there's some people here today that you hadn't hit your freeway yet. I don't say it, that's kind of funny, but the reason you hadn't hit your freeway, you hadn't even gotten the car yet. Amen. You got to meet Jesus first. You got to meet Jesus first. You have to accept Him into your life. And there's those of you here today that you've tried to make it over your hump. But see, that's the problem. It's been you trying to do it. See, I stand comforted in this. Jesus knows the outcome of what's going on in my life. And I'm hooked to Him, so I know that I'm going to reach the desired outcome that He has for me. But I tell you what, if I didn't have Jesus to hang on to, I don't know how I'd make it. In fact, I don't think I would. And if you're in here today and you're trying to do this thing on your own and you're trying to do this thing without Jesus Christ in your life, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what your end is. You won't make it. You say, oh, but I'm strong and I can. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how smart you are. You cannot devise a plan to take away your sins. And the Bible says that the wage of sin is death. And so unless somebody pays for your sins, you're going to have to pay for them yourself. And I believe with all my heart that you're here for a purpose this morning, so that you could accept Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. Let Him come in. Let Him be the one that gives you that extra boost that's going to help you make it over the hump. Maybe you're in here today and you've slipped away from God. Oh, you used to serve Him with all your heart, but now you've slipped away. Don't turn your back on the one that has the answer for you. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day at the Alvin High School about some things we're trying to plan. And I was talking to somebody else, you know, at the high school about some other things we're trying to plan. And it's amazing how God always has strategically placed people in different places to where it can be used for His glory. And I believe with all my heart that this morning you were placed in this building because God has a strategic plan for your life. The Bible says in Timothy that He's been working on it since before the foundation of the earth. And I want to ask you a question. If God's been working on a plan for your life for years and years and years and years and years, what makes you think you're going to have a better one in the 20 or 30 years that you've been living? God's given it more thought. He's given it more time. He's got more of a perspective on life than you do. But He can't do anything until you turn yourself over to Him and say, okay, Lord, I give myself to You. You're in here today and you say, okay, this is it. Today is it. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to sell out. You're not just going to pray a prayer, but you're going to sell out and say, that's it. I'm going to turn my life over to God. And I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. And you say, that's it. I've got to surrender to God today. I know I'm not right with Him, and I don't want to pay for my own sins. I want to accept the forgiveness that He has for me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand real big, real high, so we can see it. I don't want to embarrass you. But the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you're in here today and you say, I got to have God's plan for my life. I've tried it on my own. It hadn't worked. And now I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? You'd say, that's me. I'm raising my hand. I want to accept Him in my heart. See, I believe you're here. It's just a matter of whether you're willing to accept it or not. We'll wait just another minute. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it was in 1979, and I said, Jesus, I want You. And it was as if an elephant had had his foot on my back and He took it off. And I was relieved of the burden and the guilt of my sins. And I know there's those of you in here this morning, you're carrying the burden of your own sin. You're carrying the guilt of your own sin. You don't have to. Why don't you turn it over to Jesus today? Why don't you just say, okay, enough's enough. I'm not going to carry this thing around anymore. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Whether it's your first time to accept the Lord or whether you're rededicating your life to the Lord, raise your hand to say, I want You to pray for me. I want to accept this Jesus You're talking about. There's one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today's your day. You've been placed here on purpose. Anybody else? They're pointing another one, I think. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. The Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice over one that turns their life over to Jesus. I want those of you that raised your hand, if you'd just slip out and come up here, I want to pray with you. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. And if you hadn't raised your hand, you want to come up here, don't hesitate. Just come on. Any youth in the youth group, I don't know, you know, everybody here. You say, today's my day. I tell you, peer pressure ain't going to hold you back anymore in Jesus' name. Thank God. For somebody who says, yeah, today's my day. I'm going to sell out to Jesus. I'm going to sell out to Jesus. Anybody else? Your heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour. And you're just thinking, man, but I've tried, you know, and I've tried. Hey, remember what we just said? They went up to battle again. Come on. This time, instead of hanging on to the hip pockets of God, maybe what you need to do is jump up in His arms and surrender totally to Him. Before I pray with her, is there anybody else? You're saying, that's it, that's me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else, you say, well, what about the person I'm sitting with? They think I'm already saved. It doesn't matter what they think, you better be concerned about what God thinks, what God says, what God knows. We're going to go ahead and pray. Would you pray with us as we pray up here? I mean, this is serious business. She's given her life to Jesus. We don't know the story, but God knows the story. And I may not know the story previous, but I know the ending today. A soul right with God. A person's sins forgiven and wiped away. Amen? Let's just all repeat this together with her. Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I can't make it on my own. I accept you into my life right now. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the dead to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I accept that forgiveness. I jump up into your arms and I'm going to rest in you. And according to your word, if I call on you, I'll be saved. I just called on you with all of my heart, so I know I'm saved. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, we pray for her, and I thank you for the Spirit of God helping her. God, I know you're going to strengthen her and encourage her with might by your Spirit on her inner man to where she's going to make it, Lord. She's going to make it today because she's linked up today with the one who's already made it, your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that today's a brand new day for her. The past is gone and erased, and she can start over, fresh slate, clean, brand new today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for a God of new, fresh beginnings. And we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Pam, why don't you just spend a minute with her? Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a big hand for what he's done.
Stay up here. Stay up here. You know what I hear in my spirit? In my spirit, I hear somebody help the boy. Somebody help the boy. There's a scripture that says you're not far from the kingdom of God now. And I believe with all my heart there's people in this building right now that aren't far from the kingdom of God, just inches from the kingdom of God, just a couple heartbeats away from the kingdom of God, just seconds away. But somebody got to help the boy. I think some of us try to get in the kingdom of God with our own strength sometime. We're gonna get in the kingdom. We're gonna quit smoking. We're gonna quit drinking. We're gonna act nicer. We're gonna be better. And we're trying to get into the kingdom of God, but we're still missing it by that much. And you feel like you're hanging in midair. That you said, somebody help the boy. I look at myself, I think, thank God somebody helped the boy. I tried and tried and tried to do right, and the bigger the mess got. I didn't set out to do evil. I set out to do well, but it got to be a mess. You look back sometimes, you think, how in the world could that get in such a mess when I tried to do it so right? How could I get it so wrong? Somebody had to come help the boy. And there are people in here, you didn't raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you, your help is this far apart if you'll respond to God today. I mean, God, you'll make the connect finally. I see you on the back of that truck leaning over and your feet just dangling and you're only inches. You know, there's another story about a man fell into a tree and he's holding on the tree and he said, is anybody up there? And the voice said, yes, I'm up here. Oh, God, good, good. What should I do? What should I do? And the guy hollered out and God hollered out. God said, let go of the branch. And the person holding on the branch said, is there anybody else up there? And after a long time of that, still holding on to the branch, but losing his strength, losing everything he had, he said, God, are you still up there? He said, yes, I'm still up here. He said, what should I do? He said, let go of the branch. He said, okay, okay, God, and let go of the branch. And he was only this far off the ground. And you know, that's how close some of you are today. Some of you, you're not backslidden, but you know you're not in the kingdom of God either. You said, Pastor, there is something wrong. That's how I'm living my life. I'm dangling in midair. I'm trying. I'm giving it. But I'm not making it. My feet aren't on the ground. I'm not in the kingdom of God. I'm a Christian, or I want to be a Christian, but I'm trying, but I'm not getting it. And what I'm talking about now what I'm talking about is you're not right with God. Somehow whatever you had's all gone. You've burned up all your fuel and you're inches above the ground. And you're saying, Pastor, I try. I'm not trying to be not trying to mess up, but my feet aren't on the ground. I'm not in the kingdom anymore. It's like I'm just a split hair off the kingdom of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed real fast. How many is it that I'm talking to? Put your hand up all over real fast. Now, come on. Let's do business for God. Hands are going up all over this building. Hands are going up all over this building. We mean business with God. See, Kevin said, God's the one that'll help us. God's the one that'll help us. It's business with God. Now, put your hands down. I want to tell you one more thing. A couple weeks ago, all hands are down. You can all look up again. A couple weeks ago, I asked the band, do you know that song? I guess it's a secular song, but maybe it's a Christian song. I only remember it from years ago. And it's when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the storm. Walk on with hope in your heart, for you'll never walk alone. I guess the name of the song is Never Walk Alone. And I was hearing Kevin today about what I told him. He came in there. You know, sometimes you get so into your own problem, you can't see any answers. It looks like this is the answer. I'm going to go dunder. It looks like you can't think straight. You know, I mean, you're just, the only thing you can see is more blackness. No matter how your mind runs, it's running into more blackness. And that's how he came into my house that day. And I said, Kevin, if getting drunk was the answer, me, even as the pastor of church, would take you out and get you drunk. But it isn't going to solve nothing. The problem's still going to be there. And doing anything else isn't going to solve this problem. What we need is I'll walk through it with you. And we're going to get through the problem. You know what? You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. And everybody, where we got to gravitate to is somebody strong in times of trouble. Don't head for the weak to lift you up. They're going to put you down. Go to strength in times of trouble. Get a hold of strength. Let them pull you up and hold you up. And while he was preaching this morning, some of the things I had forgotten that I tell him, he doesn't forget them. I remember prophesying to him one day and told him God was going to crush him. That was another good word that he got from the Lord. And then I told him he's going to hit his freeway. And you may be, just like Kevin said, this far from the freeway. But another way, you may be that much off that truck, just hanging there in midair. Hanging there saying, God, I don't even know what to do. Don't even know which way to go. There's nothing. And I thought, you know what we all need? We need somebody that says, I'll pray with you, I'll stand with you. This isn't a time for putting each other down because we've all been in the same place. This is a time said, you know, Moses was a great man of God, but he needed two buddies. He needed two buddies. He said, I got tired too. And I'm a great man of God, but I got tired in well-doing. So help me. Hold up my hands. I want everybody to stand in the building. Care leaders, you come across the front. Kevin, you come across. Margie, I want you involved in this. Judy, I want you involved in this. Now you that raised your hand a minute ago hanging off the pickup truck, there's help and hope for you today. There's hope and help for you today. And you would say, Pastor, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. All I need is somebody to tell me they're going to go through it with me, that I'm not going through it alone. I need somebody's strength. I need to pull on somebody's strength right now. I've done a lot. I've used up my strength. I need to start pulling on somebody else's. Or you're one of those that raise your hand, I'm hanging off the pickup truck and I want my feet on the ground. While they begin to praise and worship, why don't you just come and grab somebody up here and say, I believe you're the one that's going to stand with me and break this thing off my life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. Y'all start coming right now. Come on, from all over the building. Would you minister? Let's break it today. Amen. We're coming up here going to win. Not coming up here going to lose. We're coming up here to win.
Holy, 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 holy.
Holy is the Lord
God Almighty. To receive glory, worthy to receive honor, worthy to receive all our praise today.
Oh, they got Esther and Abel. You know, maybe you just got a bad report from a doctor. Maybe you just got a bad report from a bill collector. And you said, you know what, today's the day I came into church weak, but I want to leave this church strong. Amen.
Worthy to receive honor. Receive honor, worthy to receive all our praise today.
What's that song that we just started singing about? You know, we lift up our hands and the world thinks we're strange. Hallelujah.
We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. Bless the name of the King of glory. Bless the name of the King.
King of kings, we will worship. wonders why. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. Oh, we'll just tell them we're loving our King.
You know, there's a couple more areas I want to talk to you about real quick. One is, I was thinking about, I was thinking about my wife when Kevin was reading that story about the children of Israel going against the tribe of Benjamin, and should we go up against them? And they said, yes. And then he said, should we go up against them? And I thought Judy said, God, should I marry Al? And God said, yes. And she must have said, are you sure I should marry Al? And then probably while she was married to me, she said, you still want me to stay married to him? And I thought, you know, there's marriages, they get times when you know you're in the will of God, and yet it's just as rough can be. I mean, just tough time. We've had kids where you birth children, and yet there's times when it's just a real rough situation in there, and you just need somebody to just stand in prayer, because we're not going to throw our wives away or our husbands away or our children away, but we need prayer one for another. Amen. And I want her to sing that song once more, and then we're going to dismiss you, and you'll still beat all the Baptists, so don't worry about it.
And with our hands
lifted high,
we will worship and sing.
And with our hands lifted high,
we come before you rejoicing.
With our hands lifted high to the sky, while the world wonders why, we'll just tell. Tell them.